Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, it's Matthew 5, 38, 48, page 970 in your Bibles. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn in the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, we invite the Holy Spirit to come amongst us and ask him to speak through human words to human ears and hearts, and to change lives for your glory. Amen. Morning, everyone. Not particularly good morning, but as Simon said, God is good. And some people say back all the time. I want to highlight two verses that Miriam read, and then a few verses that I read. Put them on the screen for you. In Leviticus, do not hate your brother in your heart. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. And picking up a similar theme in the Matthew reading, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, in the last few minutes, we've heard those verses read. Some of us followed them in the Bibles. We've read them again. And they all point to me this morning to want us to consider this theme, forgiveness. The theme of forgiveness, of us being forgiven and of us being forgivers. So we've got to begin by some basic stuff that I'm sure you all know. You can tick the boxes, but we'll cover it anyway. Just that God has forgiven us, and to remind us about this. First of all, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned, not most, not many, not some, but all, every one of us in this room, have sinned and come short of God's standard, God's glory. And that resultant sin means that we are separated from God. That's our natural environment as human beings, to be separated from God. In Isaiah 59:2, the prophet writes, or God speaks, your warped actions and crooked directions have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. So some sort of barrier drops down because of sin. But God, in his mercy and his kindness, provided the remedy. I have to say to you that I think 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, should be underlined in everybody's Bible. It's one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. It talks about the way salvation happened and how Jesus took our sins. It says in one version, God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. He paid the price for our sin. He took the punishment for our sin. Then in exchange, God pours his goodness into us. So at the cross, God was pouring my sin and your sin into Jesus. And the response was that he was pouring God's goodness and holiness into us. So it's a transaction, a trade. The old Saturday morning children's program, Swap Shop. It was a swap shop at the cross. We swapped our sin and received his righteousness, his justice, his truth, his mercy, his goodness. And then we're told in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that our sins are buried and forgotten. In Isaiah, we read, "I am the God who blots out your sin and rebellion and remembers your sin no more." God chooses to forget about our sins. In Isaiah 38, it says, God has cast our sins behind his back where he can't see them. And in Micah 7, it says, "You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." The well-known Dutch writer and war hero Corrie ten Boom wrote in one of her books that when God says this, he hurled all our sins into the depths of the sea. He also put a sign that said, "No fishing. You leave them alone. If they're there, you don't go back to them. They're dealt with. They are gone." So that's stuff that most of us could have said, "Yeah, I know that. I could have even given you the verses beforehand." So let's think about us this morning. What I want to focus is us forgiving. And I want to give an example. I don't know whether you're familiar with the news. I think it was last Saturday, a week yesterday, there was a memorial service for Jimmy Mizzen. Jimmy Mizzen was a 16-year-old. The papers described him as a committed Christian, so he must have been, for the papers to say that. Had his throat slashed in an unprovoked attack in a southeast London bakery one day after his 16th birthday. Tragedy beyond tragedy. And this is a picture of the family. And I don't know whether you've heard what his mother said in the interview, but we're going to show you that with a bit of help of technology and Simon. So bear with us just for a moment.
Today is cup final day, and my baby was born on cup final day in 1992. He popped out a £10 gorgeous baby, and he's been like that ever since. I know everyone wants to know about why I'm not angry about my faith, and anger breeds anger and bitterness, and bitterness will destroy my family if I'm not careful, and I won't allow that to happen. I don't feel bitterness towards the parents because we're not in control of everything our children do. But the children have to take responsibility themselves sometimes. And so I ask you, if possible, to leave the family alone. I'm really concerned that there is a young sibling, and I think her life is going to be bad enough, and I beg you to please leave her alone. And perhaps her friend should be supporting her because it's not her fault. My faith is strong. I have a good faith. I love it. And without the faith that I have this very minute, I wouldn't be standing here now. I'll be crumbling. Our family is fantastic. Our outer family is... Everyone is fantastic.
Thanks, Simon. That was from Sky News. I think BBC and most channels carried something similar. It's a devout Roman Catholic, practicing Roman Catholic family. If you didn't catch it, she said, "Oh, now everybody wants to know about why I'm not angry and about my faith." And she says, and I quote, "Anger breeds anger and bitterness will destroy my family if I'm not careful." And she said with a real determination, "I'm not going to allow that to happen." When I first heard it on the radio, I was driving the car and I nearly swerved because I went, "Yes!" That's so true, so powerful. And later she goes on, when speaking about Jake Fares, the 19-year-old who's been accused of Jimmy's murder, she said, "I don't feel any bitterness towards the parents because we're not in control of everything our children do. Those of us who are parents will know that." And then she appealed to the media. That was her appeal to the media, to leave the accused family alone. "I'm really concerned," she said, "that there's a young sibling and I think her life is going to be bad enough. I beg you, please leave her alone." I was deeply moved by that. That's a practical, up-to-date example of forgiveness in a situation that hopefully none of us ever find ourselves in. When someone that close to us has been pointlessly, needlessly, savagely removed by an act of violence and horror, and yet to hold no anger, no bitterness, to see the danger of that, and to actually be concerned about the other family. You know, you think there's a last thing beyond her mind, to be her family and what she feels. But she's concerned about the dangers to other family. C.S. Lewis once said, "Everyone says that forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have someone to forgive." Typical Lewis, isn't it? It's a good idea until it comes to us. And so we should forgive the Jesus way. This is the Jesus way. Matthew 6:12, just after in the Lord's Prayer, it says, when you pray, say, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And when Simon Peter said to Jesus, okay, how many times should I forgive, being clever old Peter, well named as he is, Matthew 18:22, Jesus said, 7 times 70. And of course, he didn't mean count up to 490 and then the 491st time, you can do what you like. He basically, Jesus was saying, there's no limit to forgiveness. It goes on. It's a continual process. And if we don't deal with forgiveness or unforgiveness, then it will hurt us and it will hurt other people. That's what Margaret Mizzen recognised. I won't allow anger and bitterness to destroy my family. Because there are evidences in tragedy, again and again, of families being broken up and destroyed because of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness within them. An anonymous quote is this, as long as you don't forgive, whoever or whatever it is will occupy time and space in your thoughts and emotions. I once saw one of those daytime chat television programs talking about child abuse. And this woman, you could see the anger and unforgiveness written all over. And she was saying, I've blotted the person who did this to my child out of my mind. I never want to talk about them or think about them again. And proceeded every time she was interviewed to talk about them and express that she was continually thinking about them. Because it was there in front of her. She had not released it. She had not got rid of it. Hebrews 12:15 says, see that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And this is serious stuff. At the end of that passage on the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes back and highlights just one issue in what he's just prayed, and that is the issue of forgiveness. Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus says, if you forgive those who sin against you, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive, then he will not forgive you. On Alpha and in other courses I've been on in this church, there are people who are, for all intents and purposes, part of our family here, who have said to me, there are something I cannot forgive. There are some situations I just cannot forgive. And that verse is serious stuff for them, isn't it? I'd rather a trained theologian trained more than me to explain that verse to us sometime, perhaps. But the implication seemed to be, if we don't forgive, we're in trouble. Okay, what is forgiveness? Very quickly this morning, because of time, forgiveness is not some things. It's not pretending. It's not pretending the hurt doesn't matter. If you've been hurt by somebody, it does matter. The hurt is real. The hurt is powerful. The hurt it can be destroying to you. It does matter. We can't pretend. We can't just ignore it. And we can't try and forget it either. I find when I try to forget things, they have a habit of coming back. They have a habit of suddenly zooming in and hitting you in the face. And you thought, yeah, I haven't forgotten that. It's still there. And it doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation. Some people struggle with forgiveness, thinking, I'll have to be best friends with that person afterwards. No, the Bible doesn't say that. It just says, deal with it. Leave what happens afterwards to what happens afterwards. Leave it to God. So it's not those things, but it is a process. And from my perspective, most importantly, it's a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling or an emotion. It's a choice that you and I have to make. Sometimes we have to continue to make. Sometimes we have to make many, many times. And I believe we need to admit what we're feeling. We need to be specific about the situation that is affecting us. Sometimes we have to name names, not in public, but to God. And we need to count the cost, because we're saying, if we forgive, that revenge is not an option. I don't know about you, one of my worst times for being bad-tempered is when I'm behind the steering wheel of a car. Some of you look at me like, never for me. Oh, it's just me then, okay. But it's not so much bad driving as injustice. I keep seeing people on mobile phones. I think it's against the law. And I'd like to sort of, or even drive close to them. Oh, make them jump or something. These are ungodly sort of thoughts. Steve Proctor shaking his head. I'm so glad it's never crossed your mind to be like that, Steve. But it's a real vulnerable time for me. And I need to realise that revenge is not an option if I'm going to be a person of forgiveness. And I need to ask to God to forgive me and to release the other person or persons involved. In the Greek, the word forgive means to send from, to release. So as we forgive someone, we release somebody. We set them free. And they didn't even know they didn't even realize they're captured. But our unforgiveness is capturing them in some way. Okay. I've said all that. but now is the time. It's a great picture, isn't it, of the guys about to loose the balloon. Some years ago, when I was leader at the community church, we had a child of 6 days die. Olivia was her name. Some of you, I think Tom and Eileen would know, the priest family. 6-day-old baby, born with a heart condition, in the best hospital in London, with the best surgeons, could not save the child. She died. And the family were deeply grieved. I went with David to try and obtain a coffin for that size. Not that easy. Pains were a pain, to be blunt. And it was tricky. And the emotions of that were... And I know for years they lived under the shadow of that. But when Olivia would have been 10, they hired part of the lodge in Richmond Park. Forgotten the name. Kembroke Lodge. I hired part of it. And we had a little birthday celebration. And they took 10 balloons and they let them go one by one into the air. Helium balloons that just went into the atmosphere. And what they were doing was just playing with balloons. No, they were doing something spiritual. They were letting go all their anger and hurt and release. You'll never, the loss will never be completely gone, will it? It'll always be there in your mind. But they were willing to let go. And perhaps they were needing to forgive God, because why didn't God do something at that time? And so for me, this picture is very powerful. Now is the time to forgive. I've heard talks about forgiveness and you think, yeah, I must sort that out. There's an issue in my life. I must deal with it. But I want to say to you that now is the time. And what I want to do, I want to pray two prayers. I have a general prayer. These are prayers I've got from Christian programs on the internet, and a specific prayer. And if this morning... And I'm an advantage to you because I'm already standing. But if there's this morning, you honestly say, there's somebody I've not forgiven. There is an issue in my life I've not dealt with in this area. Then I'd like you to stand with me. That's all. To stand with me, and I'll pray these two prayers. If no one stands, that's great. Seriously, that's great, because it means we're not having issues like this. But if you have issues, let's stand and do that. So let's close our eyes. I'll say these prayers. If you'd like to stand, please do. First, a general prayer. Father God, I need your help and your insights. Today I have gained a better understanding of forgiving others. And with your help, I fully forgive them from my heart. Just as you have freely forgiven me, I forgive them. Father, I ask you to forgive me for hurting others out of my own hurt and to heal my relationships with others. I pray all of this in Jesus' precious name, and by whom all forgiveness and healing was made possible. Thank you for loving me in ways I've never comprehend. Amen. And a specific prayer. God, help me to forgive. Fill in the blank. You know what they did. With your help, I choose to forgive them and release them from it. Now, please give me your love for them. I ask you to forgive them too, and set them free by your power and love. Now, please help me to move on with my life and to treat those who have hurt me as you would have me do. Amen.